This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And good morning.
Good morning is right.
Some of you who maybe have the cameras on, seeing Charlie
frantically trying to rearrange my people.
Well, yeah.
Franklin and Tara Nolan is here as a guest. Good morning.
That's right. Tara Nolan has written a marvelous, I've just had a chance to kind of breeze through it quickly. Mm-hmm. Gardening Your Front Yard, Projects and Ideas for Big and Small Spaces. It looks fantastic. It's
Thank
a good sized book, too.
It is. It's about 200 and some odd pages.
Yeah, it's heavy. Like, it's well made, beautiful paper, and lots of great photos.
Yeah.
So we'll talk some more about that.
Here we are on The Garden Show. We're just speculating over the next couple of weeks with all the stuff, the COVID-19 virus going on. Mm-hmm. How many people will be going up to the attic or down the basement to get old board games, you know, Trivial Pursuit or Monopoly, because you're going to be spending a lot of time maybe in isolation, you know.
Maybe, maybe. And trying to limit our screen time, right?
Well,
screens are okay, but you can't do that 12 hours a day.
No.
And getting outside for fresh air, we're going to talk a bit more about that, too.
Yeah, you got it.
Your job.
My job is to give out the phone number, which I better do.
So get to it.
In Toronto, 416-360-0740. And anywhere else in the province, toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. If you happen to be a first-time caller, please let Carlos, our operator, know. And just before you get to the air, you get the garden wings. And our little mantra, of course, you please call early, call often, one question per call. All right, over to you, Charlie.
Thank you. I wish I had lots of great events to announce, but I don't.
Well, no. not much going on.
Normally at this time of year, I mean, there probably are things going on. I'm just oblivious of them. But, you know, it's CD Saturday. It's CD Sunday. There's events everywhere. And, of course, right now, the National Home Show, co-located with Canada Blooms, is supposed to be on, which, unfortunately for the participants of both those shows, they did all the setup. And we're ready to go for opening morning, Friday morning, and got canceled a few hours before opening minutes.
What a disappointment.
A lot of work and a lot of effort and a lot of energy. So, yes, our hearts go out to people that, you know, that kind of situation. Obviously, it's a one-shot deal. That's not going to happen again, but it's really tough. I mean,
so much work goes into it.
Oh, gosh. I know it. You know, how much work goes into set. You know, we're talking 8-9 days of nonstop building artificial gardens, if you will. So it's a lot of work. Ben, Tara, you were supposed to be there.
I was supposed to speak yesterday afternoon and catch up with some gardening friends. Mm-hmm. So I was a little disappointed, obviously understand.
We're catching up online now. It's like
exactly.
It's a catching up online thing. So, well, that happens. And you you broke your leg. Nobody can see that, obviously, on the radio. But a month ago, you said. So you've been pulling out the knitting needles. And
I have already been on my couch for, practicing the social distancing just out of necessity. And
So you're going to be great. You've got some good advice for people that this is new to, right? You've had a whole month of sitting there and keeping yourself busy and active without being too active. And the weather is certainly getting better.
Yeah. Oh, thank goodness for that.
Perfect time to play in the garden.
Yes.
Planning and oohing and aahing over some of the catalogs that are rolling in, following up with some of the new seed varieties that are coming out.
Starting seeds.
Yeah, starting seeds. I've started some seeds in honor of International Women's Day last weekend. Got some seeds going.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Okay. Got some marvelous advice coming up from Tara regarding how you can make that front yard of yours really sparkle. And we, of course, look forward to your calls. Any questions on that in that regard, we'll field right over to Tara. In the meantime, a reminder of the phone lines. Open right now, in fact, completely free, 416-360-0740 in Toronto. Anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. Frank Proctor, the sous chef of the garden. delighted to have a chat with you this morning. So give us a call and say hi.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And a wee reminder, my friends, that we have a special guest in the studio, Tara Nolan, who has written a marvelous book called Gardening, Your Front Yard Projects and Ideas for Big and Small Spaces. So,
and I'm going to be interviewing Tara very specifically because I have some very big projects to do in my new front and back garden.
Right. Well, let's go to the phone lines and say hi to maybe someone just around the corner here. Marianne here in Toronto. Good morning, Marianne.
Good morning, Frank and Charlie.
Good morning.
I have a question about a Hoya plant. I was given one many years ago, and for a long time, it just roamed around and bloomed, and it had a beautiful pink flower that smelled terrible.
Weird, because normally they smell good. Okay, carry on, yeah.
But it was lovely, and I was told it doesn't take much care.
Right.
Well, I guess I didn't give it much care because it won't bloom anymore.
Oh, dear.
Oh, usually when they don't bloom, it's because you're taking too good of care. Is it in lots of sun?
Yes, it's in the south window.
Okay, and how often do you water it, roughly?
When the earth looks dry. The earth kind of looks not old. Like earth, it looks like compacted birdseed.
Oh, yeah, so very old, very probably lacking severely in nutrient from all those years. It's probably been in the same pot since you got it, right?
Probably.
Which was maybe 10 years ago. Is there any possibility you could repot it this spring?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would do. Get out some newspaper, lay it out on the table, dump the whole thing out of the pot, break away some of that crappy old ancient birdseed looking like not really true soil. But get yourself a nice brand new package of a good quality container gardening soilless mix, which will be a peat-based product. Typically, you'll moisten it in advance because it's packed dry, and then you'll put the whole thing back. Now, you can go back into the same pot maybe, but scrub the pot if you're going to.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
And also, they're dry ends. I'm not supposed to cut them off, am I?
The tips are drying out?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, see, that's always the thing with Hoya. They send out these long shoots that have no leaves on them, and they look really weird, but that's where your flowers appear. So that's why they always say, don't trim those tips. Oh. But if they're all rich, like brown and wizened and typically very, very dead looking, I would trim them off. I'd trim off dead stuff at any time on any plant.
Yeah, it looks like a dead end. Okay.
And you know, a lot of these tropicals do not like our tap water, particularly straight out of the tap. So remember that, you know, run the water at least a day or two in advance, let it sit out in a pail, room temperature, fewer extra chemicals, fewer fluorides. Fluor, chlorides, all that sort of thing does off gas somewhat, not entirely, but somewhat. So you've got a better water if it sits out.
What about my filtered water? I have a filter.
Like a Brita filter?
Yes.
Yeah, that works. That takes out all those chlorines and fluorides.
Right.
Replaces with different, but it's magnesiums and stuff that it replaces with. So yeah, you should be fine. Brita's good.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, Marianne, thank you. All right.
You know what? Okay, just an aside. Anybody out there that has soft water, like softened water, we never use that on our plants, indoors or out, because soft water is softened with sodium.
Which
is salt, right? They're all salts, but bottom line is very hard on plants. You never want to use soft water. You've got to have another tap that isn't soft, or bring in rainwater in the fall.
That's a good point. I just had a whole bunch of salt dumped into one of our appliances downstairs, you know, for softening water.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So, and here we've been using that water. Frankie.
So I wonder if you have, often in a situation where, you've got a system in the basement, there will be a tap before the system that will give you the straight water. Like in your case, it's well water, right?
Yeah.
And I'm the same. I'm on a well.
Yeah.
Now, I also have reverse osmosis water. So I have pails of well water and pails of RO water, but don't use the soft soft water.
Okay.
All right.
All right. It's
a good tip.
Good point.
Yeah,
good
thank
point.
You. Yeah.
We can take another call here, I believe. Eno, good morning and welcome to the show.
Yeah, good morning, Charlie and Frank.
Good morning.
I'm Eno from Toronto. Last week, a lady was asking about starting hibiscus from a cutting.
Right.
So I have a tip for her.
Okay, good. Oh, you're right.
Put that little cutting in the moist soil in a pot,
yep,
and cover it with drinking glass.
Oh, okay, like a clear glass.
Like
yeah.
A greenhouse.
Right, yeah, set up a miniature. Yeah, or even, I've done that.
I have never had any success with rooting them in water, so I always do that. And I remember even when I was a little child, in old country, they say that start hibiscus under a glass.
Good idea. I love it. Good tip. And it was 2 weeks ago. It was Ella calling from Brantford, 30-year-old hibiscus that she was having trouble getting hibiscus cuttings to root.
Yes.
So setting up a little mini greenhouse.
Mini greenhouse.
Yeah. They call it cloche. Have you ever used that, Tara? It's
and
a glass.
And another lady with mealybugs. After spraying with the spray, I use old toothbrush to wipe them off.
Oh, aren't you full of tips?
That's great, you know.
Well, I thought I'll give some tips.
That's good.
Great. No.
Yeah, because they're
and
hard.
And I have an orchid cactus that never blooms.
Oh, do you? Well, that one you're just going to have to talk to it a lot.
Okay. Okay.
Thanks
nice
for
talking
the call.
To you.
Good
yeah,
to
thanks
talk
for
you.
Calling.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Now we're going to screech to a halt here momentarily up to our first commercial break. And then I believe that Charlie would like to have a little interview with our special guest, Tara.
Tara's going to just roll with us here on
Well,
this.
Whatever.
Those were good little tips, eh?
They were great tips.
So, yeah, because mealybug never want to let go, right? They're just, and you don't know if they're alive or dead. You spray them and they've got that coating on them and they could be alive under there. So a little brush to move them off. Good idea.
Neat.
It's great gardening from other gardeners.
I know. Share.
Just
gardeners
take a break.
Are good sharers.
Take a little bit of a break here. Meantime, phone numbers one more time for Toronto and talk to Charlie and Tara, 416-360-0740. Anywhere in the province, it's toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. Back in a moment.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And occupying the control room as well, we have a special guest, Tara Nolan, who has written a marvelous book called Gardening, Your Front Yard Projects and Ideas for Big and Small Spaces.
And just a quick aside, Tara, this is like hot off the press.
It is. It came out on Tuesday, actually.
Whoa.
The ink is still wet. So,
isn't that great?
Yeah, and it's a lovely looking book, obviously full of great tips and photos and available just about everywhere.
Just about everywhere.
Yeah.
Online, if you want to order,
Amazon,
or at local
Indigo.
Bookshops. I was excited to hear my local bookstore had it the other day. So
and
King West Books in Hamilton.
What's it called?
King West Books.
In Hamilton?
It's in Westdale in Hamilton. Yeah.
Imagine the TBG probably has it.
Yes. Well, they had a bunch of copies for Canada Blooms.
So they'll have it there as well. Their gift shop, RBG, yes. Royal Botanical.
I haven't been there, but they should as well, though they are closed for the next few weeks. So.
Oh, gosh.
Yes,
they
I got
are,
that
eh?
Notice last night.
I guess TBG probably
until
is,
April
too.
4th, I think.
So yeah. Many places. Yeah, it's hard to keep up with everything.
Everybody's
down
chosen April 4th as the day to go back. But I think time will tell whether we've flattened the curve, so to speak, between now and then.
Exactly.
All right. Back to the phone lines here for the moment. Let's go to Brantford, and there is Patricia. Good morning, Patricia. Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
I just have a question. I have a weed service company that's been calling me to upsell spraying for grubs at this time of year. I've used them in the past for spraying the Creepin' Charlie in my lawn, and it was quite effective.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just kind of concerned about them doing it. They said they would do it the end of March.
Oh, that's weird.
And from what I've understood from you in the past, it's usually effective in August.
Mm-hmm.
So what is correct?
Well, first off, did you have issues with grubs last fall?
I have noticed that there are holes in my lawn, yeah.
Okay, so that would be the starlings or some, you know, little animal pulling the grubs
skunks.
Out.
Exactly. Awesome. Yeah, I went out and had a look, actually, the other day, and there's you know, there's quite a few little holes. Okay. Not great craters, but
no,
little holes here and there.
No, it's the raccoons that really wreak havoc. Like, they'll roll up your sod.
Yeah, they'll tidy it up and just roll into a nice pile for you.
And then, like we always say, you know, your backyard looks like a minefield, and that's the raccoons. But the skunks tend to be a little tidier, and of course the birds are the best, because they kind of like aerate your lawn while they're taking out the grubs. They just poke a bunch of holes. But okay, you're asking a really good question. Do you know, Tara?
About the time of year?
Yeah. Spring control of grubs. All right. So I got to check this out.
I have done it in the spring before, but I was not able to, when I lived in Toronto, I was not able to actually effectively eradicate all of the grubs and ended up turning my whole front yard into a garden.
Grub,
I guess that was the beginning of
it. Yeah. Right. Well, so I have used the nematodes in the fall. Or like August, when the little the thing is, they're little tiny babies. The eggs hatch late summer, and those little tiny baby grubs are so easy to kill because they have soft little bodies and they're just brand new.
Right.
They eat all fall. Winter comes, they respond to the temperature, they go down deep below the frost line in your soil, under your lawn.
Mm-hmm.
As things warm up, they come back up. All that up and down through the soil makes their skin very leathery. They become much harder to control because they've got this, like, abrasion on their outer skin. So just looking here quickly, to kill grubs in the spring or fall, use Carbaryl. How to choose. All right. You know what? You're going to have to leave me with that. I don't know that there's effective, though I remember vaguely there's a certain nematode I think that they've put out available that can be used in the spring that might be effective to do some control.
Yeah, but the frost isn't even out of the ground yet in many places, you know, so.
No, not at all. Well, it depends where you are. Like, if you're in a sunny spot, like, you're up north in a cabin, my friend.
Okay.
Where the sun is beating down, it's, you know, with all the rain we've had, too, things are thawed somewhat, but it's still a bit early.
Oh, yeah, I've got tulips popping up in my front lawn, my front garden.
Yeah, so do I. So do I. So, that I planted last fall. So, let me just look into this for you. Probably what it is if a small percentage of grubs might be controlled by this weed control service.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are worried that your lawn is just going to get annihilated this spring because there were so many grubs last fall that weren't treated, I mean, that's the time to treat them, right? Then it might be worth spending the money if it's a reasonable amount of money. But leave that with me. I'll keep listening and I'll follow up and let you know before the show's over whether I would hire. Are they charging like hundreds of dollars to do that?
It's about $100, approximately, yeah.
And no guarantees, of course?
No, I wouldn't think so.
And is it a spray that they're offering, or is it nematodes, or do you know?
As far as I understand, it's a spray.
Okay.
Okay. Well, it's not exorbitant, at least, $100.
I mean, back in the day, we used to be able to spray some pretty toxic chemicals that the rain would take down into our soil and make that soil a poisonous environment so that the grubs would die in the spring. But we don't use those anymore here in Ontario.
Huh?
All right.
Yeah, I just didn't want to spend that kind of money and not have it be effective at all.
Yeah.
I'd rather wait until August.
Exactly. Well, off the top of my head, there's no way it's going to be 100% effective, but let me check out and see what I think in terms of how effective it might be.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Thanks,
all right.
Patricia.
Thanks for
your
call. Yeah. Here we are with another caller, this time around from Dunville. Chris, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, I'll just be quick because I know there's lots of people want to talk to you. Charlie, can you explain to me about dormant oil? I got my fruit trees are trimmed and everything, but, you know, the chance of frost and stuff like that. Well, out here, between the two lakes, heck, I've seen frost in May.
I know.
And what detriment is it to spraying them, say, if I sprayed them in another couple weeks or whatever you suggest? What does the frost do to the dormant oil?
Mm-hmm. Okay, you know what? So dormant spray is a kit, usually, two different sprays.
I've used it before, lime sulfur and dormant oil, mixed it up. And,
yeah, so horticultural oil, which is a light oil, lime sulfur, water, sprayed. Frost will not do anything detrimental to the trees if you've already sprayed them, as long as it's not like a 20 below kind of frost.
Well, this is what I was wondering. Yeah. You know, you get a nice calm morning like this morning, but now it is a bit early. I was thinking in the next couple of weeks,
all
you know, and we're not going to get like minus five or anything, but it is colder with the wind chill, and that's my concern.
Right. So there's criteria on the package.
Yes.
One is you've got to be above zero. Number two, no rain.
The day you spray.
Exactly. When you're spraying, the day you spray, above zero, no rain in the forecast for at least 24 hours.
Correct.
And low wind, or preferably no wind, when you're spraying.
You can get your coverage the way you want.
Exactly. Instead of, like, because it's, remember, a dormant tree has no leaves, so we're tending, when we spray, we're overspraying to whatever's beyond the trees. So, yes. So, as long as you got those three criteria, you're good. Making sure you do a very thorough, to the dripping point spray. But, and if it goes to five below, you know, a day or two later, no big deal. It's if it went to 10 or 15 below that it could be a big deal.
Okay, see, that now, that clarifies it for me, because, you know, I want to get them sprayed before anything starts.
Exactly.
Happening much, you know.
We call it dormant spray for a reason. You want them to be dormant, and you cannot go wrong. It is the most important spray of the entire growing season. It's preventative all the way. Totally organic and 100% preventative.
Wow. Yeah, and we butchered these ones pretty good, so there's a lot of open...
I don't like that term, butchered.
Well, no, we had to... We just, plain and simple, they had to be... opened up a whole lot more in the middle, and so it was quite a chore. But anyway, clarifies it. Thank you very much. Well, have a safe day.
And you too. Yeah, fruit trees do need to be trimmed, and your timing was good, Chris, because that's when we trim fruit trees, is when they're dormant, typically February and March, and again on a dry day.
Okay. All righty. Now, 9:34, back to the lines. I'm looking for advice from Charlie here.
Okay. So next, we have Werner on the line.
Kleinberg. Good morning, Werner.
Good morning, Charlie and Frank.
Good morning. Are you in Kleinberg? No.
No. Kilsenberg.
That's what I thought.
Okay. That confused us.
It's okay.
And you're looking pretty good there, Frank. You look like the rooster in the basket between these good-looking women.
Well, now there you go.
Yeah,
not only is he a great gardener, but I'm right on with truth.
Werner knows a lot about gardening. He's got a great little recipe that I'll share with you later, if you like, Tara, about how to grow tomatoes. Really, really amazing.
What's cooking this morning, Werner?
I have two paprika rose bushes, and I sharpened all my tools. I'm ready to trim them.
Okay. So what kind of roses were they?
Paprika rose.
Plastica?
That's what I was told when they put them in.
Do they climb, or are they bushes?
They're bushes.
Okay, and do they bloom all season or just...
No, all season.
Okay. What color are they?
Oh, I'm colorblind. Red?
Brown.
Know.
Everything's brown. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
All right. So they're not... I wonder... So Patrica is what you were told? They're fairly new?
No, they're about 4 or 5 years old.
Okay. All right. So, and you're all excited to prune them back, yeah?
Yeah.
And your question?
How do I go about it? How much do I trim them back?
Oh, well, okay, so if I could be absolutely clear on which roses we're talking about, probably you've got a form of rose that's like a shrub rose. They are the trend these days. They're by far the best roses to grow. They are so easy. As long as they're in full sun, you pretty much can get out there and do that kind of, what did Chris just refer to his fruit trees as being butchered? Your roses can be
Hold it. I'm a butcher. Replace that with the shoemaker.
That's what I feel like, the shoemaker with no shoes. So listen, you can, generally these tough shrub roses can be cut back very, very hard. So at the end of the day, 6 inches tall, roughly, if you want to go that low, if you want to go no lower, but you could go higher, up to a foot tall if you want. But remember, you're pruning for open. So looking down on what you pruned, it should look like an open hand. The newest growth is going to grow to the outside of the plant, not to the inside. So we want to avoid any of that internal growth that's going to all tangle up and block sun and block air.
Okay.
All right. And that's the best thing about these shrub roses. That's what you do. Once a year, take them right down and then ignore them and enjoy flowers right through till Christmas.
They're about, I'd say... not quite 2 feet high.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, 4 to 5 years old. Up to you. You know, you want them to fit the space. You know they're going to grow back at least a foot this year.
Okay.
And what I do when I do my trimming on my roses, I feed them at the same time. So whether you're feeding with organic manure or you're feeding with a synthetic rose food, whatever it is, feed and trim and make sure it's a nice dry day.
Okay.
Okay. And I like your sharp tools. That's good.
Yep. Yeah,
okay.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, Warner.
Yes. And for the compliments, too. I appreciate that.
Do you have any roses in your garden, Tara?
I do. I have the At Last Rose from Sheridan Nursery.
And how do you like that one?
It's beautiful. It's sort of a peachy color.
Blooms
several times throughout the season.
Oh, that's nice. Did you find it quite a vigorous rose, like a good, or was kind of a not so vigorous?
It took a couple of years, but I think it's been about 3 or 4 now. Okay. And last year, I got quite a few blooms, and it was quite bushy, which was really
good.
Nice.
Okay.
It really fits the space. And it's hardy, I think, down to about zone 3, which is perfect.
And it's gorgeous color. Really unusual how coral, like a peachy, corally, pinky color. Like really, really pretty.
Yeah, they're really gorgeous.
Yeah, I left that one behind in my Richmond Hill garden.
Oh.
I know, it's horrible. I was looking at some of the pictures. I was like getting a tear in my eye thinking of all the plants I left behind. But whatever.
You're starting fresh.
It's all new. Exactly. What were you going to say about that?
I was just going to, I just wanted to thank Rita Savenches in Port Colborne. Sent me a nice little St. Paddy's Day card, but inside the card was the Garden Corner, a little package of sunflower seeds.
Nice.
So thank you,
Are
Rita.
Are they big,
really
tall ones
that.
Or short ones?
I have no idea.
Well, let Tara tell you. She can.
Large seed. Here you go.
She can read that package.
Large seeded tall.
Okay. Oh, okay. So like mammoth type giant things.
Oh, that's good. Well,
you can put those out. You've got spots.
You betcha. Yeah.
They get to be about 30 centimeters, 12 inches.
Oh, so not too tall. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. And the only thing is sometimes the squirrels will climb this, but you don't have too many squirrels where you are. Swans are your biggest problem.
Swans
right?
are the biggest.
They're the ones that wreak havoc in the garden.
Really?
Yeah.
We do have to take a little bit of a break now. So let's screech to a halt momentarily.
All right.
Let our sponsors have a few words and then come on back and I'll give you the phone numbers again to reach both Charlie and Tara. 416-360-0740 in Toronto, anywhere in the province, of course, toll free. 1-866-740-4740. Back in a moment as you hear The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, 96.7 FM in downtown Toronto.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And our special guest in studio, Tara Nolan, who has written a marvelous book. I'm having another peek at it. It's gorgeous. Gardening Your Front Yard Projects and Ideas for Big and Small Spaces. In the meanwhile, while the commercials were being played, Charlie was busy at work doing research, heavy research.
Fast research.
Yeah.
How fast can you read? So going back to Patricia, who called us about, is there an effective spray that's worth spraying your lawn with if you are suspecting you might have some grub issues this coming growing season in your lawn. I'm not finding anything. Now, it might just be me. It might be that somebody out there knows more on the subject than I do, so they're very welcome to give us a call or send me an email, c.dobbin@mzmedia.com. I'm happy to learn more about this. Everything I'm reading out there, there's sprays, none of which we would use here in Ontario. Also, remember, the pollinators are super busy in the spring, so the last thing we want to do is do any unnecessary spraying of any of our gardens and lawns. The idea of preventing a problem, it's okay to have a few grubs, frankly. If you're digging in your garden, you find the odd grub, whatever. Flip it out onto the driveway or onto the road, a bird will take it. So one or two grubs will never kill your lawn.
Yeah.
It's the thousands of grubs that are a problem. So, let's not overreact and say, oh my gosh, we got to get out there and spray.
Right.
I personally would err on the side of not spraying unless I'm seeing a lot of dead grass that happened last fall and is now looking incredibly horrible and needs to be all dug up and replanted.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to wait till after those grubs emerge.
Okay.
So,
I hope Patricia was listening in there.
Yeah. I hope if anybody has anything that I don't know about spring grub control, certainly share.
Alrighty. On to another call here from North York. Let's welcome Maureen to the line. Good morning, Maureen.
Oh, good morning, Charlie. Good morning, Frank.
Morning.
I'm calling because in February, because I wanted an early start on spring, I bought all kinds of tulips and hyacinths. Now, I've got a bunch of them on the windowsill. The leaves are starting to yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to replant them, and I'm not sure if it's better to put them in the ground in the spring or if it's better to wait until the fall. And if I wait until the fall, do I take the bulbs out of the pots, or what do I do now?
Okay, great questions. Have you ever done this, Tara, with forced bulbs?
I have. I usually just pop them in the garden in the spring.
Mm-hmm. And do you bother separating them? Yes.
Usually. It depends what they're, how they've grown
tight
in the
they
pot.
Are.
Yeah.
Well, because when we grow bulbs in pots, tulips, hyacinths, daffodils, they jam them right in. Mm-hmm. So the bulbs are all touching each other. In our real gardens in the ground, we typically don't want the bulbs to touch each other. So, yeah, so a little bit of separation. But, yeah, I'd plant them outside whenever you want, whenever it's convenient, spring, summer, or fall. Make sure it's a sunny, well-drained location.
And how early in spring, when the... So I plant them when the other plants have finished, or can I put them in any time once it starts to get a bit warmer?
Anytime you want. I mean, they've got green leaves on them now. You've got to let the flowers are finished. Leaves are growing, I hope. You are watering occasionally, and you want those green leaves to be there because those green leaves are fattening up the bulbs for next spring 2021 when you'll see flowers again. There's no, they won't flower again this spring. It'll be next spring that they're going to flower. So there's no rush to get them in the ground. The main thing is to keep them fat and juicy and healthy now for the beauty for next spring. And then
I'm watering them on a regular basis.
Okay, good. And make sure they're not sitting in water because bulbs have a tendency to rot. That's why we make sure we plant them into a well-drained spot in our gardens. And, of course, deeper in the garden than they are in the pots, right? We go down a couple inches with them or 10 centimeters.
The same as when you plant the regular bulbs.
Exactly. So, and just get them out there on a good day for you. I wouldn't put them into a wet soil, so I probably would wait till later spring rather than earlier spring.
Yeah, I don't know if you could get a trowel that far down right now.
No, exactly. Things are still a bit soggy and maybe even frozen. So, good for you. It's the best thing. Enjoy them in the house and then get them outside and continue to enjoy them outside.
Good stuff. Maureen, thanks for the call.
Yeah. And, thank you very much.
All righty. Thanks for joining us on, a cloudy Saturday morning thus far, but I think the sun was supposed to pop out at some point this afternoon.
I seem to recall.
There was a sunrise on my way here.
Yeah.
What time did you leave home?
Okay, Dawn in Toronto. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Oh, first time caller.
Oh, really? Oh, wait. Oh, no,
wait,
gosh.
Wait.
Oh, there we go.
Woo, you got wings,
there you
baby.
Go, Dawn. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Dawn.
Where'd you go? Hello, Dawn.
No, we lost him.
Uh-oh.
He was going to ask something about cornmeal, so we know what that was. You know why we put cornmeal on lawns? Weeds.
Yes.
It's a herbicide. It's a preventative herbicide. No biggie. Let's just take a minute or two and let Tara tell us a bit about her book.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm jumped onto meadows and wildflowers because that's what I'm envisioning
that's
in
your current vision for your
the
new garden.
Back of my back garden. Nice. Not so much the front. The front will probably be fairly traditional with a certain amount of turf and that sort of thing. But this is so cool because you're all over the map. You've got plans on how to build things, raised gardens, boxes.
I try to include a little bit of something for everyone. It's sort of a big idea book that hopefully will inspire you to do something even with a small space, or if you have a bigger property like you do, you can,
there's things to pull out of here.
Pull something from that you could use.
And you had some very nice people share some very nice photographs with you.
Yes, I reached out to my gardening community and I found a lot of great gardens, even in my neighborhood on walks. Yeah. I knocked on a door one day and asked if I could photograph their garden. They had a beautiful rain garden out front.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, I really kind of availed upon my gardening friends to help with some of the photography and even just locations of really great gardening ideas.
Mm-hmm. Well, like Stephen and Emma, his daughter, Biggs, remember, mm-hmm. they've been on the show a couple times.
Yes.
You've got a nice picture of their driveway.
They have a beautiful driveway garden with straw bale gardening, which is fantastic. And often, you know, you need 6 to 8 hours of sunlight a day to grow those heat seekers. So, tomatoes, peppers, melons. And so sometimes your driveway or your front garden is where it's at.
Yeah. Who doesn't have a sunny driveway? It's not like this. I mean, sometimes there's a tree nearby, but still, often that's a very exposed part of our gardens.
Just as we have to go to another break here momentarily, let me once again repeat the name of this book. It'd be really well worth the time, I think, folks, to pop by your favorite bookstore and have a peek. The book was written by Tara Nolan, and it's entitled Gardening Your Front Yard, Projects and Ideas for Big and Small Spaces. It's a great book.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, have a look at it. Meantime, we have to take a little bit of a break here and give
Last one.
Some time over to our our fellow sponsors who support us here on Zoomer Radio. All right, back in a moment.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, phlox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie and Tara, before we get back to the phone lines, which we will do here momentarily, I just want to ask Tara, your book, new gardening book, what was your favorite project in that?
Well, I have a few, actually, okay. But one of the ones I really loved was, it was a very tiny front urban garden, and it was, I laid out sedum, a carpet of sedum. So there's a company called Sedum Master in Southern Ontario here, and they usually put them on green roofs. That's where you usually see them, but I used it as basically the front lawn instead of, you know, that traditional turf grass.
Great.
And it worked out okay? Like they were able to get it rooted in?
It seemed to be rooted in the fall. We're going to keep an eye on it in the spring. And, you know, it's drought tolerant. Yeah. So, you know, I'm really hoping that it comes back, you know, this year and looks really stunning. It looked really beautiful when we photographed it. And throughout the season, actually, I kept checking in on it because they're friends of mine. So
it's close near where you live. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Oh, and that's great.
And then supporting pollinators is also one of the themes in the book or one of the projects.
I mentioned lots of pollinator magnets that you might want to attract to your garden or use to attract pollinators to your garden. And I created a pollinator palace, which was another really favorite project of mine. I went to the Chelsea Flower Show in 2017.
Oh, lucky
and
you.
That's where my inspiration came from because one of the gardens had these beautiful gabions filled with pine cones and sticks and the mason bee nesting tubes. So I recreated that using actually old milk crates that I found at the Aberfoyle Market and put one together for my own front yard. And it's a real conversation piece.
I bet. So it's like sticks, like you say, and pine cones and you know, bamboo
bits. Spring yard waste, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I was able
and
to
it's
gather.
A rusty old milk crates. People go, what is that
exactly.
mess?
Exactly. And it looks, you know, when you put it all together, it just looks really interesting. Yeah. And I found that some of those mason bee nesting tubes were full at the end of the season. So they had been used, which was really exciting
That's
for me.
Yeah, exactly. You put the stuff out. You want the insects to
you
find it.
You want them to use it.
That's right.
That's great. No,
That's great. That's a
Marla's
really good
book
idea.
To have a peek at it, folks.
Yeah.
We have to go back to Brantford now.
Right.
Say hi to Ellen, who's on the line. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling about my fir trees. They have what I think is called needle cast, and I'm wondering what I can do about it. The lower branches are dying out.
And are they firs or spruce?
I think they're spruce.
You're right. So if you poke the end of the needles on the plant, if they're spruce, they will be sharp. And if they're firs, they will not be sharp.
Yeah, they're sharp.
They're sharp. So that's, so needle cast of spruce is not that unusual. But of course, leave it to me to not remember what we do with needle cast. Because it's often it's fungal based. So it's Rhizosphera needle cast. Hold on, it's all American that's coming up here in front of me.
Yeah.
Ontario. You see, that's the problem.
I've been told that something like the needles breathe oxygen and this is stopping them from doing that. And other than cutting the lower branches off, I suppose it'll keep going up. I don't know.
I'm not so sure about that. It's it's a fungus that attacks a variety of evergreens, most often seen in spruce trees, no question, infected trees, small brown or black spots on new needle growth. Well, we're not obviously at the new needle growth point yet this season, but it's, you know, happening.
Yeah.
There are treatments that are recommended every 3 to 4 weeks, starting as the new needles emerge in the spring. How big is your tree or trees?
Oh, the tree is probably about 40 feet high.
Oh, my goodness. Ooh, you know what you need to do? You need to call a certified arborist. In Brantford, we know the Davy tree people are right across North America, so you can always find Davy, but you may have somebody else in your neighborhood. Make sure it's a certified arborist, not just Joe with a chainsaw. Sorry to use the name Joe as if, you know, that's just, anyway. And yeah, you need an expert. You need somebody on the property to use their expertise to advise you what to do. A tree of that size is far too big for you to spray. This is a controllable disease, but it does require spraying, and it requires more than one spraying. And it's going to cost money. To get them on the property will cost you nothing. To get them back to do the treatment will. So that's where you're going to have to decide what's the value of these trees. And frankly, trees, I think, well, I know, the banks know, everybody knows, big trees add huge value to your to your home properties. So as much as 10% of the value of your home is locked up in your landscape in terms of the, how it's seen by the world. Yeah. So we don't just randomly take down big old trees. All right?
Right. Okay.
So that's what I would do. You're very welcome. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Do we have time?
Bye-bye.
Let me see here.
Quickly, maybe. We've got Marjorie calling from Normandale.
Yeah. Hi, Marjorie.
Hello there. I'm calling about geraniums. I kept them in the fall time. I brought them in, tied them upside down. I've got them in pots now for about a month. And a lot of buds are coming on them. I was just wondering, should I just enjoy those or should I
break them off
to add strength to the plant?
Good question. Tara, what would you do?
I would probably keep them.
Yeah, I know. It's hard. It's really hard.
It's hard to sacrifice.
If the plants are looking pretty good, their stems are strong and there's a number of leaves on them, enjoy the flowers. If they're spindly and pale, then remove the flowers is my suggestion.
Okay.
All right.
All righty. And
thanks
I'm giving
much.
The.
I really enjoy your show.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Marjorie. I'm giving the old wind-up signal to Charlie and to Tara. We've got a. Clear the
decks
for Dave Corner Garage. The guys are revving up the engines momentarily here.
But look, one of the final bits in the book that Tara has brought to show us, she's got stuff on mowing borders, permeable pavers, fusion gardening, all kinds of real trendy things that are happening. So state of the art. Good job, Tara.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
I'm going to get you to sign my book before you leave. Thanks. Thanks a bunch for coming.
Thanks so much for having me. This has been great.
Really appreciate it. And Franklin couldn't do any of it without you.
Bless your heart.
And Carlos couldn't do any of it without you either. So thanks. Thanks to everybody. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.